A Very Important Day by Maggie Rugg Herald, illustrated by Catherine Stock. Nelia Batungbakal was too excited to sleep. She was looking out her window, listening to music on her Walkman, when she thought she saw snow. Sure enough, before long, the station DJ came on. "It's 3 a.m. here in New York City, and it's snowing. 4 to 6 inches are expected by noon." Nelia's mind raced. Imagine snow on such a very important day. This would never happen in the Philippines. Her son and daughter-in-law and the grandchildren were fast asleep. She would need to awaken them early to allow extra time for the trip downtown.
"Wake up, Miguel! It's snowing!"
Rosa Huerta called to her brother. "There are at least 2 inches on the fire escape."
"All right," said Miguel, bounding from his room. He opened the window and scooped up some snow.
"Close that window," their father ordered.
"It's cold in here. And, Miguel, is that snow in your hand?"
"Yes, Papa, the first this year."
"Back outside with it before it melts. And on such a very important day. This would not happen in Mexico, at least not in the South."
"Let's move quickly," urged their mother. "It's 6:30. We can get an early start downtown."
Veena Patel had just set the table when the doorbell rang. "That will be the children," her husband Mohandas said. But it was their neighbors, the Patambers. They apologized for stopping by so early.
"We were afraid of missing you, and we wanted to wish you well on this very important day."
"Join us for breakfast," said Veena. "Our daughter and her family will be here any minute. They think we must allow extra time, that the snow will slow us down. That's one worry we never had in India." The doorbell rang again, and this time it was the children. Everyone gathered quickly at the table, talking eagerly about the special morning ahead. Out the door and down the steps came the Leonovs, first Yevgenia, then her brother Lev, followed by their grandfather, grandmother, mother, and father.
"Snow reminds me of Russia," said their mother.
"I love snow," exclaimed Yevgenia.
Her grandfather stooped, grabbed two handfuls, and threw them at his grandchildren. The fight was on. Just then, Mr. Dianetti lobbed a snowball from the door of his corner grocery.
"Is this the big day?" he called out. "Are you headed downtown?"
"Yes," answered their father.
"This snowball fight is headed for the subway."
"Congratulations," cried Mr. Dianetti. And tossing a big handful of snow straight up in the air, he crossed the street to shake their hands.
Kostas and Nikos Sustas were clearing the sidewalk in front of the family restaurant when their mother came out the side door from their apartment above. She was carrying their baby sister, Kaiki.
"Kaiki, this is snow," said Kostas.
"How do you like it?" Nikos asked. Kaiki seemed puzzled by the flakes that hit her nose. Their mother laughed.
"She'll get used to it living here. Not like Greece, where it snows maybe once in 10 years.
But where's your father? We should be on our way."
"He went to make a sign for the door. See, there he is."
"Set those shovels inside and let's be off," their father called.
"And read this sign, everyone. What does it say?"
They chorused together, "Closed for a very important day."
"Finally, there's the bus," said Zung Hao.
He and his older sister Trin brushed snow off each other and followed their mother on board. It was crowded at first, but a few stops later, they all got seats.
"Here we are," said their mother, "in the middle of a snowstorm on the most important day since we arrived from Vietnam."
Suddenly, the driver braked hard. They were all thrown forward.
"Car skidded at the light and couldn't stop," the driver yelled. "Everybody okay?"
Fortunately, only bundles had landed on the floor.
"That was close," said their mother.
"Yes," said Trin, "but our driver's good."
Zung nodded. "Maybe he knows that today of all days, we just have to get downtown."
"I love the ferry," said Jorge Baez.
"So do I," agreed his cousin Pedro Jimenez. especially in snow. Let's go up on deck. Not by yourselves, but I'll go with you, said Pedro's father.
And I'll keep you company, Jorge's father added.
Me too, begged Jorge's sister. I want to go outside.
All right, said her father. You are old enough.
They went up on deck, leaving the little ones inside with Jorge's mother and aunt.
I'm so glad this day takes us across the harbor, said Pedro's father. I never tire of the ride.
Neither do I, said Jorge's father. Even in snow, this view is the best in the city.
And now we will all remember it as part of the most important day since we came from the Dominican Republic.
Through the narrow streets on the unshoveled sidewalks, the Zing family made their way on foot. Suddenly, from above them, a voice called out.
Yu Jing's friend, Bai Long, was leaning out the window.
I've been watching for you, he said.
Don't open this until later. Catch!
Down through the snowflakes came a small, brightly wrapped package, straight into Yu Jing's outstretched hands.
Thanks, Bai Long.
Thanks for remembering.
This is such an important day.
The most important since we arrived from China.
Yu Jing tucked the package safely inside his coat, and with waves and goodbyes, the Zing set off again, heading south.
Jihan Idris and her parents had also left home early to make the trip downtown. Now their subway ride was over, and there was time for breakfast.
I see a coffee shop ahead, Jihan's mother called out.
I want to sit at the counter, Jihan exclaimed.
They entered and sat on three stools, Jihan in the middle.
I'd like waffles, Jihan told their waitress.
And I'll have pancakes, said her father, with coffee and grapefruit juice.
Scrambled eggs and a toasted bagel, please, said her mother,
with orange juice and tea.
Quickly the waitress was back with their breakfasts.
What brings you out so early on a snowy day like today? She asked.
Can you guess? Said Jihan's mother.
It's the most important day for us since we came from Egypt, said Jihan's father.
And I'm celebrating with waffles, said Jihan. I never get them at home.
There's the courthouse, said Kwame Akufu to his wife, Ifuwa, as they rounded a corner walking fast.
She stopped.
Only two blocks to go. I'll race you to the steps.
He stopped too.
Are you crazy?
It's not slippery.
You're on. Ready?
She nodded. On your mark, get set, go. And off they dashed down the sidewalk.
Tai, Ifuwa declared at the bottom of the steps.
I used to run in Ghana, Kwame said, but never in snow.
Wait, said Ifuwa, taking a camera from her purse.
Before we go in on this very important day, let's get someone to take our picture.
So they asked a stranger, who gladly obliged, and then hand in hand they climbed the courthouse steps.
As Robert McTaggart came through the courthouse door, he heard familiar voices calling,
Robert, over here!
Near the entrance stood his friends Elizabeth and Alan. Each of them gave him a big hug.
You made it, Robert said.
Thank you so much for coming. I was afraid the snow would stop you.
Oh no, not on such an important day, said Elizabeth.
We were getting worried about you, though, said Alan.
Robert chuckled.
A few snowflakes defeat a man from the highlands of Scotland? Come on, let's find the chamber. It's on this floor.
Leaving relatives and friends to wait in the hall outside, Alvaro Castro, his wife Romelia, and their children entered the crowded chamber. They were among the last to find seats. Soon the examiner appeared and the room became quiet.
When I call your name, he said, please come forward to receive your certificate.
Many names were called. Many people went forward. Then, Alvaro and Romelia Castro and children Marta, Jose, and Oscar. The Castros approached the examiner.
Please sign here, he said to Alvaro. And here, he said to Romelia.
These are your papers.
Thank you, said Alvaro. This is a proud moment.
The Castros returned to their seats. The long journey from El Salvador has ended.
Romelia whispered to her husband, and he squeezed her hand. When the examiner had finished, he said, "Please open the door to relatives and friends." People poured in. There were so many they filled the aisles and lined the walls at the back and sides of the chamber. "Everyone please rise," said the examiner. And as everyone did, a judge entered the chamber. "Your Honor," said the examiner, "these petitioners have qualified for citizenship in the United States of America." "Then," said the judge, "will you repeat after me the oath of citizenship? Let us begin. I hereby declare on oath, I hereby declare on oath," echoing the judge phrase by phrase, sentence by sentence, the many voices resounded as one, swearing loyalty to the United States of America. "Congratulations," said the judge. "Those of you who can be, please be seated." As the room became quiet again, the judge cleared his throat. 219 of you from 32 countries have become United States citizens here today. You are carrying on a tradition that dates back to the earliest days of our country, for almost all Americans have come here from somewhere else. May citizenship enrich your lives as your lives enrich this country. Welcome. We are glad to have you. This is a very important day. Everyone then rose and joined the judge in the Pledge of Allegiance. Family and friends and strangers turned to one another. "Best wishes. I'm so happy for you. You must be so proud. Isn't it wonderful? What a day. Let me shake your hand. Let me give you a kiss. Let me give you a hug." Xing Yujin tore open the package from his friend Bailong. Inside, he found small American flags, a dozen or so, enough to share with everyone in his family and with other new citizens surrounding him. In a wave of excitement, they all made their way out of the chamber, through the hallway, and back to the courthouse door. "Look!" they exclaimed, everybody talking at once. "The snow has stopped. The sun is shining. It will be easy to get home and go on celebrating. This has become our country on this very important day."